All right. Well, we're singing some Christmas songs we don't normally sing, if you will notice. And because they are Christmas songs and we don't normally sing them, I thought it would be good if we did. So that's the reason. As I was reading in the book of Hebrews, I read a verse in it. It was just, you know, sometimes a word will leap off the page at you. And when it does that, stop and look at that word and see why it has leaped off the page. And so let's turn to the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 13 through 15 and 18 and 19. 13 through 15 and 18 and 19. I'm sorry, 18 and 20, 18 through 20. That's to include it all. Okay? For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee." And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise, talking about Abraham, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which endureth unto that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest ever after the order of Melchizedek. And the word that leapt off the page at me was the word anchor. You know, we sing songs about being anchored to Jesus and things, and so this gave me an idea for a message, and so that's what we're doing tonight, is, are you anchored in God? Most men and women are just drifting through life before they come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. You and I were both like that. We were just drifting. So I would ask this evening, are you anchored in God? What can you place your trust in? To anchor your soul to a What can you anchor your soul to for eternity? Wealth cannot take you into eternity. Neither can friendship take you, your soul, into eternity. Your soul is immortal, and it's going to live somewhere forever. I remember Dr. Bob Sr. would say that. Your soul is going to live somewhere forever. Where will it be? And so we ask the question, is because your soul is immortal and it's going to live somewhere forever, so, as you seek an anchor for your soul to provide for it in eternity, where will you find an anchor that is trustworthy? Where will you find an anchor that is trustworthy? There are men who devote themselves to morality and honor. They are people that you can be comfortable around. But their morality and their honor will not get you to heaven. There are people that are very generous with their assets, and they will help you obtain some of the blessings of life, things you might have a desire for. But no matter how much you might obtain in the way of stuff, you will not have access to heaven. You will not have access to heaven, and your stuff will not get you there. A lot of people think they're going to take stuff to heaven with them. And you're not taking anything to heaven. There's one thing that you will take to heaven with you. And what is that?
Your soul.
The souls of those you've led to the Lord. That's the only thing that you can take to heaven. You lead somebody to the Lord, you're going to see them in heaven. They're going to be there. So, question is, where should we place our interest in obtaining an anchor for our soul for eternity? Nicodemus, a Jewish priest, was looking for an anchor for his soul when he came to Jesus by night and inquired of Jesus what he had to do to secure that anchor. Nicodemus was ashamed to be seen coming to Jesus. And so, as long as that person goes to Jesus ashamed, there is not going to be any conversion. There's not going to be any salvation. Because they're not placing their faith in Jesus Christ, they have a question as to whether he can do anything for them. So, he came to Jesus by night to find out how he could anchor his soul and in the ministry of Jesus. And we find the event recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. So let's look at what transpired. The event is recorded in John, chapter 3. John 3, beginning at verse 1. And we'll read it together. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, we don't have here the record of Nicodemus's believing. Nicodemus went away at that point. And so, we do know that Nicodemus eventually did believe. He did experience being born again because he was with Joseph of Arimathea when the two of them buried Jesus after his crucifixion. At that time, Nicodemus was a believer. What happened to change him? In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, we are told that we have an hope that is the anchor of our soul. Let's look at what we are told in other portions of God's word about that hope. First of all, we will look at Paul's epistle to the Romans and what we are told about hope there. Romans 5, 1 through 8. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we are told that Jesus became our anchor by dying for us upon the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood for the propitiation of our sins. That means the payment of our sins. He paid for our sin. God sent Jesus to earth to be that payment. And Jesus was obedient to his Father. We need to come to Jesus to have the forgiveness of our sins. We need to be born again. For the first time, faith is being mentioned as a part of being born again. What is faith? In the Epistle to the Hebrews, we are told that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What we are also told in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So in order to please God, we must believe that he is, and that he will reward all those who diligently seek him. So we must seek God and believe that he exists. You know, that's a very important part of coming to God, coming to Jesus Christ, is to understand that God is real. God exists. We can't see him. Excuse me. Though we cannot see him, we know he exists because we have that in our hearts. Once we have the Holy Spirit, then we have a knowledge of God. We have an assurance of God, and we don't have to wonder whether or not God really exists. There's a lot of people in this world that wonder about God. They wonder whether or not he really exists. Almost half the people in this country are in that category. Almost half. And they wonder, does God really exist? I hope he exists. That's what they think. I hope he exists. But when you use that word hope, that means that you have a question. And that you have a question as to whether or not he really is exists. And so if we're going to seek him, we must believe that he is real. And that we have a way of communicating to him. I used to pray to God before I was saved. I didn't know who he was, and I don't know that I really believed that he was the person he is. I would talk to him, I would pray to him, but I didn't know. Was I just talking to the air? Was I just, you know, was I praying to a non-existent being? And there is a place in a person's life where they come to the point where they know. I mean, they know. It's in your heart. You know that there is a God. And when you pray to him, you are talking to him. You are communicating with him. There's a lot of scripture that refers to that. In fact, we're going to look at some right here. The Apostle Paul tells us in the Epistle to the Romans about what we need to do to experience Jesus. Now, there are a lot of people who say, oh yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't have him in their hearts. When we were out at the fair, and I was going out passing a gospel tract, some of you who were also involved probably had the same thing happen. I would have people tell me this, I'm okay, and turn away from the track. I'm okay, and turn away from the track. And I would think in my mind, you're not okay, my friend. You're on your way to hell. And if they only knew that. And so it's important for us. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. We know we are headed for heaven. When that time comes that we breathe our last breath and our heart beats its last time, we know we're going to heaven. I know that my two sons and I were with Connie when that time came in her life where she breathed her last breath and her heart beat for the last time. And then she was gone. But I have in my heart, I have a knowledge that she is with the Lord. And in fact, I had to tell her, I said, it's okay, honey, you can let go. You can quit hanging on to this life. We hang on to this life tightly. We do, all of us do. We don't want to die. There's too many things we want to do yet in this life that we want to continue to exist. And so Paul tells us in Romans, if I shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you do that, if any person does that, it is nothing we do. It's God keeping a promise to all of us. God told us this. God says, if you will confess with thy mouth, confess your sin, confess your rebellion against God, confess your wickedness, and believing in your heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then Paul goes on in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whether he be Jew or Gentile, he must call on God to seek the forgiveness of Jesus for his sins. And all of us, I trust, have come to that point where we have called out to Jesus for our sins. Now maybe we didn't mean it at the time we originally called out, but at some point in our life, we came to a point where we believed in our heart, not our mind, but in our heart, we believed that Jesus was real, that God was real. And when we called out to God, to Jesus at that point, then we truly were saved. We were truly born again. What are we being saved from? The Bible tells us that Jesus came to deliver us from our sin. Now, anybody here without sin? Even now?
Nope.
We still have sin. And many times, we do not intend to sin. But we sin anyway. Why? Because this body of flesh and blood has appetites. And we succumb to those appetites. We have been doing this all of our life. This body is nothing new. We have been living in it since the day we were born, the day before, the day we were conceived, we've been living in this body. And it has appetites. And so we bow to those appetites. Oh, I'd like 3 potato chips instead of 1. Or 3 cookies instead of 1. Okay. Maybe stepping on a few toes, but or no toes. It depends on. Okay. So we have appetites, and we tend to satisfy those appetites because this body is what we're living in. We are living in this body, and when the body has appetites or it has desires, we tend to satisfy them because we are living in the body. If you are in a group of people that believe a particular thing, have particular teachings, you do not go against that group if you want to stay in that group. Because if you go against that group, they will throw you out. Now, the body can't throw your soul out. But we minister to the body because we are living in it. And so that's a very unique thing and a very important thing for us to remember, that we sin because we satisfy the cravings of the body. Now, what are we being saved from? The Bible tells us that Jesus came to deliver us from our sin. John was the first one to tell us about why Jesus came into the world. John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God which take away the sin of the world. Once again, John tells us of Jesus and his ministry in 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from sin. That's 1 John 1:7, the little epistle of John in the back of the Bible. And let me read that again. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. As I look around tonight, I wonder how many of our people are in darkness tonight. They're not walking in the light. They're not here. Where are they? Do you see that it is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin? He came to shed his blood to cleanse us from sin. 1 John 1:8-9. 1 John 1:8-9 tells us, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have found. Now what does this say? It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. So how many times do we have to confess them? One time. But I'm not satisfied with that, because I remember guilt. I feel guilty about some of my sins. And so I will go back and confess them again. I can remember when I first confessed them, and I know that God forgave them, but I still have that feeling of guilt, and that's up here. That's not here in my heart. And so I have to remember, one time of confessing is enough if I am truly penitent about my sin. If I'm just confessing it to be confessing and getting rid of it, that doesn't work. I have to be penitent. I have to be repentant of that sin. I have to turn away from it. And in many cases, I have done that in my heart, not in my mind. And so my mind remembers the sin, and I want to confess it again. I don't know if you have that same problem that I do, but there are times when I want to confess more than one time, because I just don't feel that I have justified my actions. So, the blood of Jesus Christ, when you think about the blood that he shed there at Calvary, he shed blood before Calvary, when he was whipped, when he was beaten. He was beginning to pay for our sin at that point. And then he was nailed to the cross. And as he hung there, he was dripping blood, and that blood was covering our sin. In 1 John 1:8-9, say, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The anchor that we seek is Jesus and his shed blood. Paul wrote about the church and how Jesus bought it with his own blood in Acts 20:28. Paul said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus Christ purchased this church. Jesus Christ owns this church. Where is the rest of the church? They're not here. I don't know where they are. Are they aware of the fact that Jesus paid such a price for them? Acts 20:28. Tells us that he purchased this church with his own blood, the individuals within this church. The shed blood of Jesus is the anchor that will get us eternal life in heaven when our life on this earth is over. There is no other anchor upon which we can depend other than the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where was that blood shed? It was shed back in just outside of Jerusalem. When was it shed? Over 2,000 years ago. And yet that is our anchor that we have to believe in. The Apostle Paul tells us about the ministry of Jesus in the third chapter of Romans, Romans 3, 21 through 26. Romans 3, 21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and justifier of him which believes in Jesus. What are we to do about our current sins? What are
your
we to do?
Current sins, the ones you have not.
The one that happened after Jesus Christ has saved you.
We're to confess them and ask him to forgive us.
That's right.
Continue.
We should. How long should it be after this we sin that we confess? We should confess instantly. There should be conviction in our soul that we have just sinned against God. And if that conviction is not there, there is a problem. So we want to be sure, as soon as that conviction comes, confess. Confess it to God. And it says that he will be faithful and just, and he will forgive us those sins. There's a hymn about an anchor, and its last verse reads, "Troubles almost whelm the soul, griefs like billows o'er me roll. Tempters seek to lure astray. Storms obscure the light of day. But in Christ I can be bold. I've an anchor that shall hold. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By his grace I shall not fail. For my anchor holds, my anchor holds." And I hope that is a hymn that you can sing with all your heart, that your anchor. We all have a small bark. That's the place where we live. That's where we go about. I will not be by good deeds or actions that are blessed. I won't be anchored. What will we gain in our place in heaven? How will we gain our place in heaven? By the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we will enter heaven and join all those who have gone before us. We have an anchor that shall not fail. It has saved men for the last 2,000 years, and it will continue to save them until Jesus comes back for his church. We have an anchor that we need to share with the world, and one that will not fail. Do you have friends or family that need an anchor? Then tell them about Jesus and how he can save them and what he did on the cross of Calvary. Don't let them drift into hell at the end of their life without Jesus. Remember what the most famous verse in the Bible tells us, John 3:16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for loving us enough to send your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. And Father, we know you exist. You have told us that if we come to you, we must believe that you are, and that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. Help us, Father, to diligently seek you every day, at the beginning of the day, throughout the day, and at the end of the day. And Father, use us to be means of sharing your anchor, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the world and with those we come in contact with. When we talk to loved ones, Father, give us a burden for their souls. Help us to communicate to them how Jesus bled for their sin. And then, Father, help us to put our trust in what Jesus did, and we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.